Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
What is the most important commandment? Here is the New Testament answer. Here is the divine answer. Love is the fulfillment of the law. In a sense, all of Scripture then is a commentary on these two commandments. Love the Lord and love your neighbor as yourself. If you do that, you've fulfilled all of the commandments.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Recently, we've been studying the Ten Commandments. By now, it's obvious that all of us fall short of God's perfect law. But today, as we approach the end of our study, we'll consider the brilliant commentary of Jesus. What's the most important commandment? And how does the Lord Jesus fulfill God's law and set us free? To find out, let's join Pastor John Monroe.
For the last few weeks, we've been studying the Ten Commandments. Now that we've looked carefully at each of the Ten Commandments, there is one further commandment which I want to mention before our series concludes. The commandment of love. To consider this commandment, we'll be thinking of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ as he gives his brilliant commentary on the Ten Commandments in the Gospel of Mark. While someone could legalistically try to follow all of the commandments, they would miss the whole point if they don't love God and love their neighbor as themselves. True love, true obedience begins in our hearts. So let's listen to the words of the Lord Jesus today as we understand what he means when he discusses the greatest commandment.
We've been studying the Ten Commandments now for several weeks, and some of you have heard all of these Ten Commandments, so it is now time for the test. It is examination day. How have you done? Now be honest. Anyone here got 10 out of 10? Anyone here who obeys all of the Ten Commandments all of the time? The preacher asked. Anyone here who has never sinned? Anyone here this morning who is perfect? No one in the congregation moved until a very small man sitting next to a very large woman near the front somewhat hesitantly put up his hand. Preacher, taking aback, said, "Sir, are you saying you're perfect?" "No," replied the man, "but I do want to give a good word for my wife's first husband." Well, such perfect people may exist. I don't know any of them. Some may exist in the figment of people's imagination. But the Apostle James, writing about the Ten Commandments in the New Testament, says, "Whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he is guilty of all." You say that's rather unfair. Do you think so? Here is Fred Brown. He keeps all of the commandments all of the time, but one day in a weak moment, he covets his neighbor's new Mercedes. James says he is guilty of all. You see, what does the law demand? The law demands perfection. So if you got your examination paper, all of you put a big F on it. This is very disappointing for me. I've been preaching, going through all of the Ten Commandments, and I don't have one student that passes. All of you have failed. All of you are flunked. Someone says, Pastor Monroe, I've tried really hard. I've done my best. God does not demand your best. He demands his best. And the standard is not yours. The standard is not ours. The standard is not of our society. The standard is God's. And God says, and you know it in your heart, that all of us have sinned and have come short of his glory, of his perfect standards. And in case there is any dubiety, in case anyone would argue the point this morning, I want us to hear Jesus' reply to this question. What is the greatest of the commandments? What is the foremost of the commandments? What is the most important of the commandments? What really are the commandments saying in their essence? When you boil them all down, what is the message of the Ten Commandments? Let's read the answer to that. Mark chapter 12. We're going to read from verses 28 through 34 and consider Jesus' commentary on the Ten Commandments. We've been reading them from the Old Testament, making application, of course, in the New Testament. But here is our Lord, who has asked this very intriguing question. Mark 12:28. One of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, asked him, "What commandment is the foremost of all?" What is the most important commandment? Jesus answered, "The foremost is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment, no other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said to him, "Right, teacher, you have truly stated that he is one, and there is no one else beside him. And to love him with all of the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all of the strength, and to love one neighbor as himself is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he had answered intelligently, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one would venture to ask him any more questions. Jesus is saying here that love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the essence of the law. Now, at the time of Christ, the religious establishment debated, as the scribe is asking for clarification, they debated what was the most important of all of the commandments. According to their calculations, as they went through the ancient Hebrew scriptures, there were 613 commandments in the Old Testament. 248 of them were positive, 365 of them were negative. But the debate was, is it possible to reduce all of these commandments, the Ten Commandments, and all of the other rules and regulations in the Old Testament, is it possible to reduce them to one axiom? What is the most important commandment? Here is the New Testament answer. Here is the divine answer. Love is the fulfillment of the law. In a sense, all of Scripture then is a commentary on these two commandments. Love the Lord and love your neighbor as yourself. If you do that, you've fulfilled all of the commandments. Now, I think you can understand that. As we went through all 10 of the commandments, we saw this. Some of the commandments are concerned with our love for God, are concerned with our relationship with God. There is only one true God to be worshipped. This true God must be worshipped correctly. Don't take God's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. All of them to do with our relationship with the Lord and with loving the Lord with all of our heart. But other commandments concern our relationship with our neighbor. We are to love our neighbor. Don't steal from your neighbor. Don't kill your neighbor. Don't sleep with your neighbor's wife. Don't covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. So if you love the Lord and you love your neighbor as yourself, you are fulfilling the whole law. Love is the essence, is the foundation, is the core of all of the law. So if you obey this love commandment, you're doing what the law required. But there's a big problem, isn't there? In studying the Ten Commandments, we have learned, and you've admitted it, I didn't see one hand up when I asked the question. None of us perfectly loves the Lord. There is not one person here who always loves your neighbor as yourself. So here is the dilemma. We see it in the Old Testament. Jesus is reaffirming it now in the New Testament. I think we understand that. We don't love the Lord with all of our heart. We don't always love our neighbor as ourselves. When we hear the fire engine and we're out of our home, our first thought is, I hope it's not my home. If it's the neighbor's, I'm sorry for it, but at least that's better than my home going up in flames. So what's the answer? Here it is. Jesus Christ, this is the message of Christmas, the message of the gospel. Jesus Christ, who is love, has come and is the total and perfect fulfillment of the law. Now, let's see that in Matthew chapter 5, if you have your Bible there, first book of the New Testament, the Gospel according to Matthew, where we will see that there is one man, one perfect man, who comes to this earth. He comes from heaven to earth, and he perfectly and completely and totally fulfills the law of God. Matthew 5:17. Jesus says, "Don't think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill." Do you notice that? "For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law until all is accomplished." Jesus perfectly fulfilled the law of God. He always loved his Father and his God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. He always, 100% of the time, no exceptions, he always loved his neighbor as himself. Not only did he love his neighbor as himself, he died for his enemies. He is the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. And so Paul, writing about such things in Romans 10 verse 4, summarizes it in this way and says that Christ is the end of the law. He is the goal, the termination of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. The NIV puts it this way: Christ is the end of the law so that there may be righteousness to everyone who believes. Now think of that with me. What does it mean? What is Paul saying when he says Christ is the end, the Greek word telos, Christ is the end of the law? Well, he is the end, the goal of the law, in that the whole of the law anticipated and looked forward to Christ. And when Christ came, that little baby born in the stable, laid in the manger, that little baby growing into boyhood and manhood, is in fact perfect God. The only one who had ever walked on this earth who perfectly fulfilled the law, who kept all of the Ten Commandments. Also, all of the ceremonial sacrifices of the Old Testament were pointing forward to the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many animals, many lambs sacrificed under the Old Testament law, but now in Jesus Christ, there is the Lamb who takes away the sin, do you understand this? The sin of the world, the Lamb, the sacrifice, which is going to end all of the sacrifices, an unrepeatable, a unique sacrifice, because he is the perfect Lamb of God, all of them pointing forward to him. And now he comes, perfectly obeys the law, and dies for the sins of the world. His sacrifice ends all of the sacrifices. Jesus Christ is also the end of the law, the goal of the law, in that his fulfillment of the law brings the dispensation, the age of the law, to an end. So John writes in his prologue, John 1:17, "The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." And because Christ is the fulfillment of the law, believers in Jesus Christ are no longer under the Mosaic law as a rule of law, but are under the law of Christ. You know, there are people, there are Christians, well-intentioned people, who want to bring us back under the law. But followers of Christ are no longer under the dispensation of the law. We're no longer under the Mosaic law as a rule of law, but are now in the age of grace. When we turn to our Bibles, even if you came today and you'd never opened a Bible, and you looked at the index and look very casually through this Bible, you realize that there are two parts. There is the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and there is the New Testament. There is the New Covenant. What is the Old Covenant? The Old Covenant is the Mosaic Law. But then there is the New Covenant. The New Covenant which is ushered in by our Lord Jesus Christ. What was the problem of the law? If you've got your Bible, turn to Deuteronomy 27, the fifth book in the Old Testament, part of the Pentateuch, the books of Moses. Deuteronomy 27:26. Inherent in the law is this curse. Those under the law who break the law are under the curse of the law. Deuteronomy 27:26. "Cursed is he who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. And all the people shall say, Amen. So studying the Ten Commandments, we've learned that all of us, without exception here, have broken the commandments of the law. Therefore, we are under the condemnation of the law. The soul that sins shall die. The wages of sin is death. God has given us his law. Nothing wrong with the law. The problem is with us. And we have broken it. We are now under its condemnation, deserving death, under its curse. The question, the huge question is this. How can we be freed from the curse and from the condemnation of the law? I deserve to die because I have broken the law. You are condemned. You're under the curse of the law because you have broken the law of God. Is there any escape? How can we deal with this? This is the wonder. This is the blessing of Christmas, that Jesus has come. The long prophesied Messiah. And what has he done? He has fulfilled the law. And he became, how marvelous this is, mind-blowing. He has become a curse for us. You say, is that really true? Of course it is. Turn to Galatians chapter 3 in the New Testament. Here is Paul writing about the law, dealing with grace and the interaction between law and grace. This is what he says here in Galatians 3, verse 10, in a very important passage. Something I think that we've come to understand, I hope we have. Galatians 3, 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Does that sound familiar? I hope so. We just read it, Deuteronomy 27, verse 26. Now, verse 11, that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. For the righteous man shall live by what? By keeping the law? By obeying the law? No, shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. If you're going to get into heaven by obeying the Ten Commandments, it's rather easy to understand. Just obey them all of the time, and you'll get into heaven. You say impossible. Exactly. But here is the wonder of the Christian faith. Verse 13. Christ, the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah, redeemed us. How wonderful. No wonder the gospel is called good news. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Aren't you glad these little words are added? For us. He becomes a curse for you and for me. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. There is the gospel, that my Lord Jesus Christ, who perfectly fulfilled the law and made it honorable, who is sinless, the sinless Lamb of God, goes to the tree of Golgotha, of Calvary, dies there for me, pays the punishment that I deserve. As I have broken the law of God and deserve condemnation, my Savior has come and has become a curse for me. Is under the curse of God and bears the punishment that I deserve in his body on the tree, so that being buried and rising from the dead, he now offers me and you salvation, which is received not by working for it, but by receiving it as a gift of his grace. And in the wonder of the gospel, when we personally trust Christ as our Savior, we receive his forgiveness and his perfection. You say, doesn't God require perfection? Yes, he does. God's requirements are met for us in Jesus Christ. And when I receive Jesus Christ, his righteousness is transferred to my account. Let me illustrate it like this. Here are two books. This represents my sin, very, very heavy, weighing me down. This represents the righteousness of Jesus Christ, his perfection, the only one ever living who obeys the law of God. He always loves God. He always loves his neighbor as himself. Now, what happens at salvation? What is the gospel? What happens to my sin? Does God simply say, well, I'll just ignore it, John. You're pretty good. After all, you're a pastor. I don't care about the past. Let's just pretend it didn't exist. He can't do that. All of my sin is transferred to Christ. Isn't that wonderful? All of my sin is transferred to Christ. And that's not all. All of the righteousness of Christ is transferred to me. So that as far as God is concerned, as an individual who has received salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, a holy God looks at John Monroe and sees perfection. You say, John, we know you, you're not perfect in your experience, but I am perfect in my Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's a deal, isn't it? All of my sin for all of his righteousness. And so Paul can say regarding salvation, regarding Christ's death, that he died, the just for the unjust. That is the only way, my dear friend, any individual will ever get into heaven. The Christmas story is good news for lawbreakers. How are we then to live, those of us who have received this gift? We are still tempted to sin, but we are now, as Paul says here in Galatians 3:16, we receive the promise of the Spirit, that is the Spirit of God. We are given now a supernatural power to be victorious over sin. Here is the law of Jesus Christ. How am I to obey it? I now have the power of the Spirit. I am given as a gift the power of the indwelling Spirit to live a life pleasing to God. You say, is sin still there? Are we still tempted to sin when we receive Christ? Yes, we are. But we have a greater power, the power of God himself indwelling us, enabling us to live the supernatural life, a life which pleases God.
You're listening to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and the start of a message titled, The Greatest Commandment. John will be back in just a moment. But remember, you can always find these messages online at theverdict.org. Well, as we near the end of our study on the Ten Commandments, we want to make sure you don't miss out on the special resource we've prepared just for our listeners. It's a helpful listening guide that goes along with each of these daily messages from John. As you work through it, you'll revisit the key points as you deepen your understanding of God's law and review how these commands apply to your life today. This printable workbook is completely free, and it's easy to download or request by mail when you visit our website at theverdict.org. And if you'd like to equip other listeners with solid biblical teaching and resources like these, we encourage you to partner with us and help The Verdict continue sharing these Bible lessons with new listeners around the world. Your generous donations of any amount go directly to our efforts to help more people discover the truth of God's Word in your own local community and far beyond. We've made it quick and easy to give through our website. Simply go to theverdict.org or call us at 833-551-2231. The Verdict is a ministry of Calvary Church in South Charlotte. We're located on the corner of Highway 51 and Ray Road, and we'd love to welcome you for worship this coming Sunday. For more details, just go to theverdict.org. Now, here's John.
Well, what's your verdict? Are you a person of love? Do you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? What's your verdict? Following Jesus is not a legalistic or ritualistic religion. Love should not only impact our heart, but our minds, our emotions, our wills. In fact, love should impact the totality of our being. Praise God that He is love. And in love, sent his Son to die for our sins. Join me next time as we conclude our study on the Ten Commandments.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.